What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We go to the hotline where Mr. Zach Meisel, who covers the Guardians for The Athletic, joins us right now. You're more than promo worthy, sir, so I can't wait.
Congratulations.
Wow. What an honor. Yep. I'm speechless.
Well, that would really be detrimental for getting a promo. But we'll work on it nonetheless. Guardians didn't make additions at the trade deadline. Minor subtractions. Is this good?
I did not think a question like that would be so complicated to answer. I don't know. I mean, like, the where do you want to start? Bieber, that shouldn't have been surprising. They got someone whose scouting report sounds exactly what Shane Bieber's scouting report once sounded like.
Yeah.
That's the kind of pitcher that they tend to have a lot of success with. This is kind of the year where that prospect is going from someone who was looked at as a fringe major leaguer to, might actually have something pretty valuable here. So, like, I have no issues with that trade. There was not much of a starting pitching market out there league-wide. So over the last 2 weeks, the Guardians started getting a lot of calls on Bieber. And once he proved healthy and sharp and throwing as hard as you'd want him to throw on Tuesday afternoon in Akron, it was full go from there. So, yeah, I thought that was – you know, once they lost 10 in a row, your need for a returning Shane Bieber plummets, and that was an expected deal. I don't think anyone woke up today in a grumpy mood because the Guardians moved on from Paul Sewald. So then it just becomes the Stephen Kwan conundrum, and I think there are a lot of questions about the team's objectives, both the rest of this season and looking ahead, and they need to figure out what's more important to them. Is it more important to try to claw back into this thing and snag a wild card spot? Well, if that's the case, you didn't add anything. So, you know, how do you get better over the last 2 months? Or if this is really more looking toward 2026 and whatnot, okay, well, then we need to see CJ Kafis, and we need to see some young pitching, and we need to see more of the guys who will be part of the fabric of the roster next season. And it also lends itself to questions about what you're going to do next with Stephen Kwan, whether that's try to extend him, trade him this winter, or just keep the status quo. So that was a very simple question, Jeff. There is not a simple answer.
I would think if you're in the clubhouse, though, you kind of feel like, okay, the front office trusts us to continue on the path that we're going on. We're playing good baseball since that losing streak, and we kept a guy we know helps us every night, right? If you're in that clubhouse, you're not, you don't, like, the way they felt when Clase got suspended, basically probably took a game from them. Let's be honest. The emotion of that day, we heard Stephen Vogt after that game. So if they would have taken Kwan out of it, you have to wonder what the mental psyche of a clubhouse is going down the stretch, right? But by keeping Kwan, don't you think they're making a statement to everybody that's there, even guys that are struggling at the plate? Hey, we believe in you, and we're going to try this, and let's see what happens for the rest of the season. I'm not making guarantees past this season, but at least we believe in you for the next 54 games.
Yeah, if anything, you can tell yourself that.
Okay.
which matters, right?
Like, it does matter. I think in the clubhouse it does matter. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember 2012, the Guardians, the Indians, were kind of in a similar spot. Remember in 2011 they got up to – a hot start under Manny Acta, and then they kind of tapered off. But they traded for Ubaldo Jimenez that year, and it was like, all right, you might have something here. This might be the beginning. And then 2012, they just kind of treaded water. And then you got to the deadline, and there was no talk of selling, but there was a lot of talk of buying, and the buying they did was adding Brent Lillibridge. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Fielder.
Yeah.
And I remember walking into the clubhouse after the deadline, and a player kind of called me over and was like, that's what we did? That's how this front office believes in us that much, that's what we added? And then they went 5-24 in August, and the rest was history, and Manny Acta was history. I think this is different in that there were never really buyers, but I'm with you. They went through a lot this week. I think if they moved Kwan, even if they would have gotten a nice package of prospects, that was going to be another sucker punch to the clubhouse, and those guys were going to be, you know, really feeling it. I think you can look across the field tonight and look in the Minnesota dugout, and you're going to see that. Right?
Yeah.
Like there were quotes coming out of there saying, man, the more people that they trade, it makes you just hope that you're next. So you don't have to be a part of this. So, you know, that was never at risk of happening, but it's been a tough year. I mean, they've had – look, they didn't do anything over the offseason, really, to improve the lineup. And the lineup's been dreadful, and they've had 10-game losing streaks, and they've had guys not develop the way that they had hoped. And then they had the Luis Ortiz thing, and then the Emmanuel Clase thing. Like, it's been a rough year, and they're at 500. They've got the soft schedule will continue here for most of August, and maybe they can hang around in this race, and young players gain confidence just by being in that, but you still need to see development. You need an answer on Brian Rocchio and Gabriel Arias and Nolan Jones and Bo Naylor. And so you can think about 2025. And if you're a player, that's all you can do. But if you're the organization, you got to be thinking about the future too, the immediate future, because, you know, you've just treaded water for 4 months, and you don't want this entire year to be a waste.
Zach Meisel joining us from The Athletic. Can they find common ground with Stephen Kwan on an extension? And do you think Stephen is the type of guy who will end up with a contract that has three figures in it when you talk about millions? I find it hard to believe that he would be that kind of a player.
Another one that's tough to answer. So the common ground is going to be a lot closer.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, Let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Closer to what Kwan would want at this point than what the Guardians would want, because he's not desperate. And that's been evident because they've talked contract negotiations in past springs and have not consummated a deal, right? So at this point, he's 2 years from free agency. He's making $4 million this season, so it's not like he needs immediate cash. And he's become a two-time All-Star, and he's headed for his fourth Gold Glove Award. And, you know, he's not the perfect player by any means, but he's a pretty well-rounded one when you think about defense and the fact that, you know, if he hits 15 home runs this season, which looks possible, he's not Miles Straw with power, right? Like, he walks more than he strikes out. Like, he's a pretty good player. And I think a pretty good player in this day and age gets you – you know, if you're signing a long-term deal, it does get you in that $100 million territory if it's over, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So there are a lot of questions, though. There is a very, very possible chance that there's going to be a work stoppage in 2027. And I do not know what the financial landscape of the league will look like after that. 2027 is his last season before free agency. So part of me wonders if he also is resistant to an extension because maybe there's a more level financial playing field in a couple of years, and TV deals can change how this thing looks. And maybe there are more teams that would be willing to offer him money, or maybe there will be a salary cap and long-term contracts will be stifled a little bit. I don't know. I do think if you're the Guardians, he's your second best player, and I don't think it's crazy to give him $100 million over like 6 years or 5 years. And if anything, that's also David Blitzer's problem more than it's Paul Dolan's problem. Mm-hmm. And also, they've proven if a contract gets a little too uncomfortable, I mean, they still were able to trade Andrés Giménez. They were able to get rid of Miles Straw's contract. Like, there are plenty of other teams who would give Stephen Kwan the type of money it would take. So if I'm the Guardians, I'm doing everything I can to sign him, just because I need proven hitters. Like, that's what the team doesn't have, and he's one of them.
I was going to ask you that, Zach. I mean, how much do you think that Blitzer Colic group, are they going to take over? Are they going to move over to 51% to take over the majority of this team? Like, I wonder what they're thinking, especially, I mean, if you're sitting in their shoes, like if you have a minority stake in this thing, and you're looking at how much other teams have made money over the years, I'm sure that their percentage, based on selling the team, has gone up, and they haven't had to do a thing, right? And so if you're them, do you really want to go to 51%? I'm super curious to see the way this thing plays out. And do the Dolans have to operate like, I think they're going to take it, or they're going to take it? It's kind of a weird dynamic, isn't it?
It's very weird. I think the collective bargaining stuff plays a big role in this, because that has to happen first before you're going to get the decision from a new ownership group. Mm-hmm. But like, there's not a lot on the ledger here, right?
You know, right. You
have Jose Ramirez here, and any owner would be glad to have Jose Ramirez on the books for another few years. And aside from him, there's not much. So, you know, especially if Emmanuel Clase is no longer a part of this thing. You know, Tanner Bibee's not, his contract extension was for pennies. So, like, it's not like a new owner would come over and have all this dead weight on the books. And I think you could sign Kwan, and I don't think he'd qualify as that either. So, to me, it's not that high risk, or it shouldn't be. But it's a conversation they have to continue having. And at some point, you know, I was actually talking to another owner in recent weeks. And he made a great point where, like, you can't – the Guardians are very risk-averse, and a lot of teams in their position are, right? Like, you know, you see Tampa or Milwaukee or the Athletics, like teams like that. Like, a lot of times they're risk-averse, but I think they've gotten too risk-averse, and this owner was telling me, like, you have to take some chances at some point. You're never going to win anything or build anything sustainable if you don't take some chances. And it's okay to miss on those once in a while, like, and you learn something out of it. But you can't just sit back and be so afraid to make bold moves that you just handcuff yourself.
Zach Meisel joining us from The Athletic. If you look at what is available in the system right now to come up and help this team offensively next year, Zach, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot right on the cusp. Maybe some several years down the road with the guys they drafted this year, maybe a little different philosophy, bringing in some big sticks. What do they do next year to try and improve this offense?
Yeah, I mean, injuries in the farm system have just that's been maybe like the greatest disappointment.
I mean, you almost can't even consider Dulauder a top prospect anymore, can you, until he shows he can be on the field for a couple of months?
You certainly don't want to just reserve a spot for him.
No.
And, you know, like Juan Brito, like we probably would have seen him quite a bit by now, but he's had an injury-riddled season. You know, Bizana missing those 8 weeks set him back a little bit. It's just, it's tough because there was a world where all those guys get their feet wet this year, and then, you know if they're ready for an everyday opportunity next season, and all of a sudden you're starting to feel pretty good about 2026, or at least know what spots you need to fill, and you don't have that. And like the best case scenario now is maybe we get a quick glimpse of Brito and Dulauder in September, but I'm not even going to hold my breath for that. And so you go into next season with even more question marks. And so I think whether it's, you know, the one thing, and it goes back to that taking risks, is they've pretty much stopped trading prospects for proven talent. We have not seen them do that in a while, and I think they're going to have to. I think they have to have good enough evaluation of their own system to know who they believe in more than other teams do, who they don't think will pan out, but maybe another team really likes a certain guy in their system, and you're going to have holes to fill. So whether it's in the outfield, whether it's at catcher, whether it's middle infield, they're going to have to bring in some talent from the outside because, as you said, Jeff, like they don't have those guys who are ready who you can trust. Like, am I supposed to believe that Chase Dulauder can play 150 games next year?
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how.
Yeah. So they're going to have to go get some outside talent because they've got – I like where the starting pitching is, and I trust that they're going to have a competent enough bullpen. So they finally need to address the lineup.
Zach Meisel is joining us from The Athletic. Major League Baseball didn't send Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase home just while they checked some things out. Who knows where this goes, but I'm waiting for a big shoe to drop on this thing. And I don't like the way this feels, and I can't imagine that those guys, I have a hard time thinking they're going to be on this team next year, Zach, and maybe even in baseball. What does your gut tell you?
Yeah, I have a hard time envisioning them ever pitching in Major League Baseball again, honestly. I mean, I don't want to speculate on like what the investigation might end up proving or disproving, but there was a player banned from baseball a year ago, and it was much, much less than this. It was a guy who was injured, sitting on the couch. He bet on his team. He had no influence on that. You know, this is different. This is two pitchers who had the ball in their hand. And if you can't trust that, there's not a spot for you. So I don't know what will happen. I don't know exactly what they've found or what they think they will find. And I don't know, like, what happens if there are, you know, some bad characters in their lives who are maybe forcing this upon them. But I have a really hard time picturing any scenario where they're back pitching, because this is rule number one, right? This is even before sports betting was legalized and broadcast everywhere. It was like, I mean, this goes back to the Black Sox. It's like,
sure
like
does.
You're the one dictating what is happening, And if that can't be trusted, then there's no gray area there.
Zach, I've got about 30 seconds. With Miller getting traded by the Athletics, with Durant going from Minnesota to Philly, I can only imagine the haul the Guardians could have picked up for Class A. And it could have been a franchise-changing situation, could it not?
Yeah, and they were fielding offers for weeks before the hammer came down there. So definitely had to pivot and rethink things. And that's not to say it was a guarantee that they were going to trade him, but it was something that they were contemplating. And even though they'll say that, you know, they had told teams that they weren't motivated to move him, which I think there's truth to that. It's a little different when there's an hour left before the deadline and you're staring at some really enticing offers. I don't think you can shut the door on that. So I don't know for sure that they would have traded him at this deadline. I think even if they held on to him, it would have been a very popular idea this winter. But now I think all that's out the window.
Zach Meisel does a great job of covering the Guardians, his trade deadline stuff, outstanding at The Athletic. Go read it and follow him the rest of the season as the Guardians try and pull out a playoff spot here. Zach, thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate
Zach joining us on the Fan Hotline and fielding offers on Class A, and then all of a sudden, whoop, not fielding offers on Class A anymore. That's some strong words from Zach. Hard time thinking that they may ever play again in Major League Baseball. We'll see how all that turns out. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Coming up, 1:30, Kevin Stefanski's press conference live from Berea. We'll have that for you. I wonder if he'll be asked about a certain wide receiver who wants to be traded. Ooh. My guess is no, because he's under contract to another team.
Oh, that's kinda true.
That's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, don't miss a moment from earlier in our show or any of our other local shows on 92.3 The Fan. Click the rewind function on the Odyssey app, brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose, click, and cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com to listen back to any of our segments from the past 72 hours.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We'll be heading out to Berea again, 1:30 for Kevin Stefanski. Browns made a couple of moves today, as Meredith has been telling you about, as we've been hearing Jeff Thomas as well. They signed a wide receiver, a guy named Chase Cota. We don't know much about Chase, except I like that he's 6'4". Can't go wrong there.
Mm-mm.
They also signed a corner, Keenan Isaac. Like that a corner is 6'3". There's your Martin Emerson, you know, like move. I won't say replacement, but there's your move for Martin Emerson. All right, we brought in another corner. And like Martin, he's a bigger corner, which you're seeing more of in the NFL, as some of these big wide receivers, we're overpowering the smaller cornerback. So we'll see if those guys are able to stick and make any kind of an impact. But, you always add players at this time of the year, and that's certainly what the Browns did there. You also, at this time of the year, sometimes move on from players, and every once in a while, a player moves on from you. And Andy, I will tell you, I saw a story and I just thought, that's
okay,
a shame.
What was that?
Well, do you remember it was last year? There's a guy named Lewis Reese Zammit, and it's a hyphen, Reese Zammit, who was a big time rugby player and came over and signed with the Kansas City Chiefs to be a running back, a wide receiver for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to figure out how can we possibly use this guy and make this work. And, he was a standout rugby player. And that was really good, but it didn't work out too well for him in Kansas City. And he played in the preseason. I think he caught one pass, something like that, and that was it. And then they moved on from him. And he was in camp here with Jacksonville. And you thought, all right, well, Jacksonville is going to give it a run and see what he might be able to do. And, rugby's a nasty sport, man. You know, they're not all padded up like you are in football, and as if, football's not a nasty sport. But this guy was really good. And so he got cut by the Chiefs, ends up with the Jags, and was on the Jags practice squad, and now part of the international pathway thing. Jackson was able to give him a roster spot. But if you've, and I watched rugby highlights of this dude last year, and I thought, well, heck, there's a special teams guy. He's returning punts, he's returning kicks. You figure out how to use him in an offense, everything else. Well, he went to social media and he said, I have an exciting announcement to make. I've decided to leave the NFL and return to rugby.
Oh, maybe you got a good contract in rugby.
He said, it's been a great experience, but it's time to come home. I've decided that this is the best time to make this decision, give myself time to get everything in place for next season. There's only, and so, rugby guy leaves football and goes back to rugby.
He was in pretty good shape, man. There's no question about that.
He's a beast. But this is where I feel bad about this. I've kept waiting for the NFL to come up with some other place to find talent. You know what I mean?
Sumo wrestlers?
The only thing might be the only real pathway to the...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The NFL is through college football. Think about it.
Or some kind of semi-pro league.
Well, that doesn't happen. Was it Eric Swan, offensive lineman years ago, went from playing, I think, semi-pro in New Jersey to the NFL. But these guys go to college, they play some college football, and they end up in the NFL.
CFL. Yeah, but you're right. But they probably played college football here and then went to
the CFL. Yeah. Very, very few guys are not playing college in the States in the CFL and coming here. And I thought, I wonder if this rugby thing could open up an avenue of talent for the NFL. And, you know, Lewis Rees-Zammit, one of the terrific rugby players, and, you know, you saw his skill set in rugby, and I thought, will that translate? And it didn't. And I find that kind of disappointing. I've always thought, you know, look at some of the guys in this international pathway program is interesting. You know, they're trying to find these freakish athletes around the world and seeing if they can teach them to be football players and to really, you know, really become football players. I don't think it's worked very, very well so far. And that's a shame because I truly think they could use another avenue of finding talent.
I don't know how. So I just kind of did a quick search on guys that are considered to be, what are they considered to be? Semi-pro football players that have made it to the pros. And it's not Eric Swan, who you brought up, right? Didn't you bring him up?
Yes, I did.
So they also list Kurt Warner.
Kurt played college football.
Yeah, Jake Delhomme, Jeff Garcia, Michael Lewis.
Jake Delhomme played college football,
yeah,
and
he played
in the, what, USFL.
So I guess what they're saying is that their path may have steered them to, because Delhomme played in NFL Europe, and Jeff Garcia played in the CFL.
But they all played college football.
Yeah.
And then after college football, they went to where they had to go to try and get back on the NFL radar.
Wrestling, basketball. Wait, we got a guy. We just put somebody in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but guess what? He was going to be a college football player.
But he wasn't, though. That's interesting.
Well, but how many?
And that's an odd case. Antonio Gates, exactly.
Preston Pearson, a former Steeler, former Cowboy running back in the day.
Yeah.
Preston Pearson went from college basketball to the NFL as well. My point is, you don't see that very often.
Doesn't that make Antonio Gates' story even greater this weekend?
Yeah.
He played basketball. It's really cool.
I don't remember the exact specifics on when, where, how, but He was supposed to play football, I believe.
Eastern Michigan?
At Michigan State and Eastern Michigan.
Okay.
And then was supposed to play basketball at Eastern Michigan as well, something like that. And then he ends up, okay, I'm going to go to Kent now and play basketball.
And then go to the Elite Eight. Thank you. Thank you for the greatest moment of pride in my conscious lifetime.
Without question. If you're a Kent Stater and you're a Kent State sports fan, the biggest moment in our school's history was going to the Elite Eight.
That and the Tangerine Bowl of 72. And the names that were on that team.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Well, don't you remember standing outside with tangerines when the guys made it and we were outside cheering Go Flashes?
I don't.
We didn't know. I don't remember that either, but it sounds like a good story, doesn't it?
It sounds like a great story.
Remember Nick Saban and Lou Holtz came over and said hi?
Yeah, Lou Holtz wasn't involved.
No, he was. He was at the parade. I saw him.
Oh, he might have been at the parade. He was in this, where city is he from?
I would have
loved to see this guy from rugby succeed because I think it could have led to more guys from rugby coming to the NFL, both, at skill positions, linebackers, you would think would be a great proving ground there, but c'est la vie, Andy.
Yeah, I don't. I still wonder. I was reading a story yesterday about people that don't play high school or club and try to play college athletics, and how rare that is.
Nearly impossible.
Nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the question I think sometimes, and I'll get out of Youth Sports Corner pretty quick, is when's the right time to start your kid?
How do we get to Youth Sports Corner from rugby?
Well, because you're trying to find other pathways into the NFL.
I'm not taking 14-year-olds.
No one asked you to, Jeff. No one asked you to. I just think when I was reading the article, it was just another reminder that if you've got coaches that are telling you at 9, 10, 11, 12, or younger that they need to specifically play one sport, I just think they're wrong. They're 100% wrong. That you're not utilizing all the muscles. You've got development going on. You've got the great equalizer in puberty. You've got all these things going on. And the more active you can have your kids in any sport at any given time, rather than trying to specialize when they're super young, is just a mistake. Like yesterday, 2 days ago, we had Collins on, right? Malik Collins on. And what his eyes were glowing when we were talking to him about wrestling and not football. It's about the entire experience, and if you're pigeonholing your kid to be one thing super young, just go read a book. Go read a book. Okay, thanks.
I'm Andy Baskin.
I care about the kids. I do. I care
about
sports.
There's a promo. I'm Andy Baskin.
I
care about the kids.
I care about the growth of sports, and I worry about football especially because...
Yeah, well, get the rugby guys back over
here. Okay, well, maybe 6-2, get some rugby
209,
guys.
209, Lewis Reese Zammit going back to rugby.
And now you're all depressed about
Zammit,
it.
Zammit, damn it.
Jeff Phelps.
Well, come on.
Wash your mouth
Perfect
out with
Avenue.
Soap.
Gone. Gone.
Else, what's another way you could come in? I can't think of anything else.
Him?
Give me another avenue other than maybe playing soccer to become a kicker you're getting into the NFL. You're not.
You're not. That's the point. Could the Browns be adding another wide receiver to this team? Unlikely, but...
Oh, there's one out there.
It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
One big one.
The Browns wide receiver situation has been one of my favorite head scratchers for years. Terry McLaurin is an outstanding wide receiver for the Washington Commanders. He's been really good since he came into the NFL from Ohio State University and has stacked up 1,000-yard seasons. And last year, he was Jaden Daniels' safety valve security blanket. And they really hit it off. So the great young quarterback of Washington, the great veteran wide receiver who's still a pretty young guy, really hit it off. And he wants, wanted a new contract. And it's been going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he showed up for camp and he didn't get a contract and everything else.
Right.
So Terry McLaurin has now requested a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And he just would like to, be moved along. Now, we've heard of people before, Andy, requesting trades, and it leads to getting the contract that they want from the team they're with, despite previous things.
Have we heard
things.
That story around here lately?
I remember rumblings of such.
Some really good football player?
Yeah. And, you want to go win, you want to win a Super Bowl, oh, wait a minute, here's a great contract, I'm good to go. I get that. It's about getting paid. I'm sorry. It's about getting paid. If you win a Super Bowl, great. If you don't make any money and you win a Super Bowl, great. You have a ring, but you don't have all the money. I'd rather have all the money. So there you go. And apparently Myles Garrett did too. So that's great. Whether Terry McLaurin wants the ring or whatever, I think Terry wants to get paid. Could he get paid here in Cleveland? Well, what do you think?
You want an answer?
Yeah.
After 2026, he could get paid here.
Yeah, well, that doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
No, because this is the 2025 season.
Yeah, I know. That's
then there's 2026.
Yeah.
Our buddy Nick Shook from NFL.com does a great job writing. He's a Kent Stater and local guy. Said six trade destinations, possibly, to pursue the two-time Pro Bowler.
Interesting that he uses six.
Terry,
I'll tell you why in a minute.
Terry McLaurin. And he starts out with the Chargers, which makes sense. Mike Williams just retired from there. And Ladd McConkey, good young receiver. He's coming on. Raiders lost Davante Adams. They still have Jacoby Myers. Jets also lost Davante Adams.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Patriots, they have Stephon Diggs, but maybe not a whole lot else other than some young guys. San Francisco. They no longer have Debo Samuel because he's now a Washington Commander. And then the sixth team that he has listed, Cleveland Browns.
Hmm.
But now see, here's the deal. And Nick points out any deal for Terry McLaurin would likely include a previously agreed upon extension. Sure, because that's what he wants is a new contract. And he says, and that theoretically would eliminate Cleveland because they have a big cap deficit in 2026. And it would rule them out. Beyond 2026, he says they have a lot of money. But if you're Terry McLaurin, you're going to go to a place where you're not going to get the money you want and know that you're risking the injury without getting that money? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't sign.
I can tell you, we do guaranteed money around here. We know how to do that. We do that better than any other team.
But if they can't do that.
Yeah, I know. Guaranteed down the road.
Right,
that's all I can do.
But you can't guarantee 2 or 3 years down the road, can you? Because let's just say he got a serious injury and was out. You know, I don't know how they could guarantee him money several years down the road. So I would actually like to get him here. And if you had a wide receiving group of Terry McLaurin as receiver 1 or 1A, Jerry Jeudy as receiver 1 or 1A, or call them both 1As, and then Deontay Johnson if he's able to figure it out, and Cedric Tillman if he's able to show that the few games that he really lit it up with Jameis Winston and with Joe Flacco, actually, the year before. If those are legit, if those were your four wide receivers with Jamari Thrash as number five, Andy, great, let's go. I would think your wide receiving core would be outstanding at that point. I would like it because I think every guy on this wide receiving core right now is kind of considered one spot higher than he should be. Maybe not for Jeudy, but you know, to think that Jeudy is Justin Jefferson, you know, to think that he's Jamar Chase is optimistic thinking on the part of Browns fans. He's a good wide receiver. I'm glad he's here. But, you know, you could bring in Terry McLaurin, and then you've got two alpha dogs at receiver. That would be great. But I don't think it's possible. I also don't think, other than money, the price tag would be exorbitant. Washington might say, well, we're not trading him unless we get a number one. Well, good luck getting a number one for him. And I say that for this reason. McLaurin was in the draft class of 2019, along with three guys who were traded this offseason. Or two guys. DK Metcalf went from Seattle to the Steelers. And DK Metcalf's career numbers are really similar to Terry McLaurin's. A few fewer receptions, a few fewer yards, and a few more touchdowns. And the Steelers got DK Metcalf from Seattle for a 2025 second rounder and a late round pick swap. So I think that might be the most comparable thing you could deal with. Christian Kirk was also in that draft class, and he went from Jacksonville to the Texans for a 7th-round pick next year. And Christian Kirk is good. I don't think he's as good as McLaurin. I don't think he's as good as Metcalf, but he's still good. And then, you know, George Pickens got traded this offseason as well. And George, a younger guy than those wide receivers, but he went to Dallas, and the compensation there. He went with a sixth-round pick in exchange for a 2026 third and a 2027 fifth. So if Washington thinks, hey, we're going to get two number ones or we're going to get a number one for Terry McLaurin, I think they're mistaken. And I don't know that they're even contemplating a trade. They just might say, hey, Terry, great. Glad you're talking about that. We're not trading you. And if I was them, that's what I'd do. I mean, I've got Jaden Daniels over here. We brought in Deebo Samuel to add to the wide receiver crew. We didn't bring him in to be the wide receiver crew. And come to think of it, Deebo was also in that draft class. And they got Deebo for a song. He was in the 2019 draft class. So, you know, you've had three guys in that class already traded. And Washington should know, you know, hey, we know what we just gave up for a good wide receiver at that age. So we're not going to get a ton for McLaurin. I just don't think the Browns can pull it off from a financial standpoint, Andy. I don't think they have the funds to make Terry McLaurin happy for this year or next, which means, well, then, you know, if you're Terry McLaurin, why Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't know why Cleveland. That's a great question. And then you have to ask yourself, his agent's Buddy Baker.
One hell of a guy in the number three. Did he drive three before Dale Earnhardt?
Who?
Buddy Baker.
Anyway.
Legendary NASCAR driver,
yeah.
Buddy Baker.
DeAndre Carter is his agent, too. So I was just trying to find out if there's any... I don't know if there's any... I mean, it seems like he's been able to get deals done with the Browns before. So I don't know if that's... if his agent had anything to do with it. I don't know how much he's looking. I think it's the financial woes that would... Like, if they had the money, I think they'd go out and get him in a second.
Well, I think they would try, and I would think they should.
I also thought it was interesting that
Commanders gave up a fifth, by the way, for Deebo Samuel.
Hmm.
So, again, I don't think the trade compensation would be a ton. I wonder
it's the cash on our end.
I wonder if they could do this, and I don't know if you would, and I don't know how it would work out money-wise. I'll readily admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could trade a player for Terry McLaurin. You got a player you could trade for Terry McLaurin? Would that make it work financially? And then you could extend him?
Based on Terry McLaurin's current contract in Washington? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. But then again,
you'd have to start matching numbers. I don't know.
And I don't know if you could do that.
I also thought, you know, you said, you know, Nick Shook had six teams that he thought would be good fits, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you said? CBS has five. The Browns are not one of them. Yeah. And in fact, they have the Chiefs on there rather than the phenomenal Patriots.
He'd be a phenomenal Chief.
Could you imagine him
with Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, man.
And the Chiefs have added some wide
receivers.
But
they also don't have a ton of cap space either.
But they have some issues, you know, some of the Chiefs' wide receivers. Rashee Rice, obviously.
Does that change if the Browns got Terry McLaurin? Does that put them in, I don't know, even though, does that put them in playoff talk?
No.
Now, how many wins is Terry McLaurin worth to the Browns roster? Is there a war for that?
Who's throwing?
Where is Menegan when I need him?
Who's throwing him the football?
I think Joe Flacco can get him the football. I just hope he's there for 17 games. That's the thing.
I think he would be a nice addition to the team. I will just leave it at that. But I don't think the Browns can pull it off based on the money. And from everything that I've read from folks who know a heck of a lot more about the money situation.
It's the financial part, right? I think if Jimmy has him at his way and could just cut a check, boom, he'd be here in a second.
It's done.
And it'd be guaranteed for him, too.
Well, sure it would.
I mean, he'd be in Strongsville living next to Bill Cowher if he wanted to.
Well, sure. Why not? Wouldn't that work out great?
Yeah. Well, Bill needs someone to watch the house while he's not there.
I just don't think it's possible. But you never know.
It's good to dream, isn't it?
Well, I'm still dreaming about getting somebody in here at wide receiver who can add to the group.
Who would you have to give up on a one-for-one deal?
Andy, I don't have any idea.
Oh,
I would think someone of significance.
Like Denzel Ward, right? Like that.
No, I think that's way too high of a price.
Well, yeah, especially if would you say you just had a wide receiver went for a six-round pick? Is that what you said?
Deebo for a fifth.
Deebo for a fifth. Okay.
Yeah, the Commanders picked up Deebo Samuel for a fifth.
Jamari Thrash was a fifth-round pick. You think they'd go for that?
No.
Oh. Just trying to go one for one.
Well, that wouldn't make the money work.
Jerome Ford, fifth-round pick. Would that work?
They don't need him.
I don't have another fifth round pick. Well, it's Cameron Mitchell.
No, it's not the fifth round. It's the money.
I'm just trying to make it happen here, Jeff.
I'm an idea man.
I'm Chuck.
No, Chuck was the guy that he told was he was an idea man.
Chuck was Arthur Fonzarelli, wasn't he?
Henry Winkler's.
Arthur Fonzarelli, my world. Yeah. Sorry. When you become so attached to a character on a television show that they become that character, that means they did a really good job.
Terry McLaurin would add to a group that needs added to, I think, on the Browns. In fact, I have a comparison that you're not going to like.
Oh, great. I love when you set things up that way.
I have a comparison that you, Andy Baskin, are not going to like.
You're going to give him DeShone Kizer for Terry McLaurin.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up at 1:30. Coach of the Browns, as they get ready to go into the final week before the preseason begins next Friday. Browns preseason against the Carolina Panthers. They'll practice against the Panthers one day coming up this week. But I have a comparison for the Browns offense, Andy, that you're not going to like at all. And it's next on Baskin and Phelps.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.